Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Great stuff. I think we're finished. We're gonna start by showing you a little clip of nature. Just like 1 minute. And you know, when we look at nature, sometimes, I don't know about you, but then you cannot deny that God exists. I mean, and so that's where we're going to start. So let's go for that. You're not supposed to laugh at that moment. You spoiled the whole video. Who laughed? But we're gonna talk about holiness tonight. I know for some of us, it's when we think of holiness, we think of people that sprinkle some water and run up and down and have changed their voice and all of that type of stuff. But there's something beautiful about holiness and God's holiness. And I want to thank the people, James and that song that came. I didn't say to them what I'm going to preach on, because that's really on God's heart. And tonight some of our lives are going to change because God's word always changes us, and because I am preaching out of my wife's, Louise, Woman of Destiny Bible tonight. Okay. So, all the ladies, you can feel very excited. I don't know why I grabbed her Bible, but in any case, I don't know if it's different, but it's still the Bible. I mean, okay, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Holy Spirit. You're not the friendly spirit, the nice spirit, the good spirit. But you bring the holiness of God. And Lord, we have become a generation that have lost the beauty of what is truly holy. But tonight I pray that you will reach into every person's spirit and set us free to see you. And to see, Lord, what you are doing in the earth. Thank you, Lord, that tonight everything of the world, you will rid us from that. So that we only have a hunger and a desire for you. Only have a deep, deep desire. A thirst for you, God. So that nothing else will satisfy us except you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I'm going to read from Psalm 96, verse 1 to 9. And this is a beautiful song. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. You know, when we talk about holiness, there's something so attractive about God. You know, I've had the privilege of a couple of times being and going into the Middle East. And there you find a lot of Christians that had an encounter with God that would actually say, well, Jesus appeared to them in a dream, or Jesus would come and speak to them. And many, many stories of people just had supernatural interventions. And the most amazing thing of what they all say about our Lord is very simply the eyes of God. They always talk about the man with the white robe that has fire in his eyes. Because if you look at somebody and you look in their eyes, you can see a lot what's happening, because the eyes are the windows of the soul, what comes in and especially what you see. And tonight we're also going to talk about spiritual eyes, because that's what God wants to open up, our spiritual eyes to see his beauty. And, because sometimes even in the church, what we do is we give people a lot of instructions on how to change and how to live a better life and how to really make it and a set of rules and regulations. But you know what? If you find the pearl of greatest price, you will let go of everything else because you realize this is it. This is it. I don't need anything else. But I think sometimes even in churches like ours, what we do is we give people little chicken nuggets and nice nuggets and feel good nuggets and all that stuff. But then, it's not the presence of God. But what God is busy doing is He's refining us to the place where we say, God, we really want to see You. But when you pray those prayers, be very careful. don't just say, oh, Lord, I want to see You. Sometimes the songs that we sing, I think like, oh, my khuna, I don't know, khuna machantas, what are we singing right now, Lord, take my life. Lord, take my life. We must think about what we sing. and the best is sometimes people sing, oh, Lord, I bow before You. I kneel before You. I lift my hands to the coming King. And I think like, what did you just sing? What did you just do? When you bow, you do it like this. Huh? When you have kids, you're going to understand this one. Many times you get your kids and suddenly you realize there's silence in the home. And then it just spells one thing, trouble. Then you go and find what they're busy doing with. But it's amazing sometimes you find your kids lying like this in between the toys, fast asleep. Because they've just played themselves to death, The one day we searched for our son Josh, the whole house full and everything. And then we found that he's under the bed, fast asleep, with two blocks of chocolates next to him. I woke him up. I said, so, I'm missing some chocolates. He told me, I'm deceived. You're deceived. While the chocolate is dripping down his mouth, he says, he doesn't know where it is. I say, yes, it's in your stomach. He says, no. Don't believe a lie, he said. Quoting scripture out of context. But here, the psalmist writes this beautiful picture. He says, before God, in verse 6, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. And you know what? Many times, even in church has become a social club. But when we read what the psalmist say, it means that it's something very different. It's beauty that we bring to God. It's our hearts that we bring, and God takes it very seriously when we worship Him. So I'm going to divide. I'm going to talk about three things. And the first thing is the instruction of God to be holy. He says, be holy. If you and I want to worship Him, then we need to live according to His standards. And the world is slowly moving away, not slowly, it's been doing that for years, but rapidly now, away from anything that is beautiful and holy. Why? Because the devil wants to defile us. The world will defile you, and then it robs you of that purity and that innocence to be a child of God. That moment, and that's why I show that nature clip. I bought myself this CD, DVD series a couple of years ago of Planet Earth, and I watch it regularly, and I just sit there and I think like, wow, God. We've lost the ability, the wows in this life. We've lost that ability to be just awestruck, because Romans chapter 1 says that even, the whole of creation, everything shows the attributes of God. But what we do is we get busy on our phones, we get busy on all of that other stuff. It makes us see a lot of other things, and now this generation is more lonely than ever before, although we're the most connected generation. Because people have lost the beauty of connecting with God and connecting with each other. But that's why we're talking about it tonight. So 1 Peter 1 verse 13 says, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. It says, hey, be ready, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Now God will never ask us to do something that he is not. He will never put a demand on you that he's not already made provision for. So Peter writes, he says, hey, be holy. Step out of those things from the world. Get away. Do you know the only reason why there's not revival and people aren't running to the church is because the church is full of the world. And I'm going to say this with respect, but you know, and that's why I love black people. I just love black people because most black people that come to church, I just look at you and I think like, wow, they dress up for church. And I'm thinking like, wow, there's this bit of respect and honor. When you go to the East, you see in their culture, when you come, it's honor, it's respect because we understand we're not coming to church just because, hey, I've just come from the beach and now I feel good, you know, and I still have my goeiemakaful sand, that's your pluckies, what do you call that, sandals, your sandals on, you know, just come from the beach because, hey, it's just another social. And everything about the generation, you know, when I walk through campus, I want to just start a blanket ministry. Can any men say amen? Amen, amen. Because girls, we truly don't want to see things that we don't want to see. Okay. What is beautiful is in the heart. And so, you know, you walk around and then you realize there's so many girls walking around, so many guys walking around, but they don't have any understanding of what is beautiful. Because the world has told us, hey, this is what is beautiful. And then it just becomes lustful. You know, and it's a problem because when you go to the shop, my oldest daughter is now in grade 8, and it is a challenge. Not shopping, that is a challenge in itself, okay? Because you always see, have you ever noticed these men standing in front of the TV? They're in the big shopping mall, they just stand there. And they've been standing there for a long time. Because they're waiting for their wives that goes through the shopping. No, that's good. No. After the third shop, I feel I want to die. I don't know. Guys, you're going to get there. But that's where patience comes in and all those beautiful things. That's why you're married, so that you can learn to love. Okay? So, but you know, finding dresses these days that are proper and that covers everything, is that's a miracle. You must go to the shop and pray about, Lord, you know. We need some more material. Amen? I don't know. But in any case. So girls, guys, and then some of the guys. Oh, my chuna. I'm not even going to go there. You know, the pants looks like tights. You know? And I think, guy, can you even breathe in those clothes that you have on, you know? But in any case, so being different. Okay. So the first area is, God commands us to be holy. Now, how do we walk in this holiness? It's not a weird, and now go and live up in the mountain somewhere, and you know, whenever you go through the world, just close everything so that you can't see anything, you know. It's a condition of the heart, and that's why it says be holy. Now, how does holiness start? It's simply by the washing of the word. And so in John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify. This is Jesus praying. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. Later in John 8, verse 32, or before that, in John 8, verse 31 and 32, he says, you must abide in his word, and when you abide in his word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I want to say something to you. It's not the experience and the event that sets you free. It's the truth. It's the word of God. Stop running around after one experience, emotional experience, to the other one. That's not going to set you free. The Bible says what set us free is the truth. Is when you have that moment and revelation knowledge comes to you, God speaks to you and you just go like, wow. Wow. I've read this in the scripture, but I've never seen it like this. Wow. And God wants us to have those wow moments every day with him. He wants us to stand there and be in awe. It's called revelation knowledge. And when you walk as a Christian in revelation knowledge, you will be an inspired person. But you know, I don't see a lot of inspired Christians anymore. I see a lot of survivors. I see a lot of victims. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring that. It says, when you know the Spirit of God, there will be fountains of living waters that spring up from your innermost beings, fountains of life. John 7, verse 38 and 39. Can you say amen? That was a good place to say amen. Okay, and then the big other word is sanctification. Sanctification is this process, the Afrikaans part van heiligmaking. sanctification. Let's listen to this in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. You can read it from there. It talks specifically about sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As a Christian, you don't have a right to your body. You don't have a right to your body. You know, I spoke to a guy in this past week who's at school. And he said to me, do you know I can't worship? I cannot worship. Every time when I want to enter into that place of seeing God, then something withdraws me. And I realized, but there's something not lacking here, you know? So I started to pray, say, okay, God, what's wrong? And the word sexual iniquity came up. And I thought, like, oh, okay. And I said, there's sexual iniquity. And then suddenly he started to cry because he said, you know what? I'm trapped in pornography. And it brings such a shame. Because the difference between guilt and shame is just something very simple. Shame is about who you are. Guilt is about what you've done. But the one thing that makes lustful stuff, sexual lust and pornography and that stuff, what it does, it brings shame. It doesn't bring guilt. And so then every time when you approach God, you feel shameful. And that's one of the biggest sins in the church, I believe, today is sexual immorality. Because do you know what? We're also ashamed then of Christ when we need to go and testify out there. We are ashamed of the gospel. But when you sit here tonight, do you know what? That body that you're in, it's not yours. You don't have a right to decide to overeat yourself, to do stuff, to look at that stuff. You don't have a right to that because the Holy Spirit, it's His body. That's what the scripture says. I mean, He says, hey, it's a temple. And the temple manifests and wants to manifest the glory of God. And that's the beauty of that thing, that God wants to bring His glory through you, in you. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. The word in John 1, it says that Jesus came and tabernacled among us. He came to stay among us. You know, I don't know if you've met some people, but if you meet them and suddenly you have this, you walk away from them and then you have this wow moment. You've looked in their eyes and you realize, wow, these people really this guy really loves, or this woman really loves people, or there's just something different. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be different. Not weird, just different. Okay, because some people work so hard on their weirdness and they get it right very well, you know? You can just look at their hair, on their dresses, all that stuff. We've not been called to be weird, but we've been called to be different. It's called holiness. Hello? Anybody here? It's going to get more quiet in this place, but hallelujah. And then it talks about not just living, firstly, about the Word of God that sanctifies us, the Holy Spirit, we spoke about that, but there's the place of sanctification, being set apart, having those moments with God. Because the place where holiness is born from is intimacy with God. And everything wants to take you away from that. I promise you, the world is designed for one thing, the busyness of this world, everything, even the busyness of ministry and being involved in a lot of ministry, or even what, you know, you can have your whole quiet time, but you don't realize, why do I have quiet time? Is actually to know God, to connect with Him. You know, one day I studied accounting, and when I worked, I think it was my fifth year of working, I walked in and into the place and everybody was looking like weird. They just looked like funny, you know, and they just stared at me and some people giggled a little bit, you know, and I was thinking the whole day, what is wrong, you know? Something is wrong. So I checked if everything is fine, everything looked fine, and around about 3 o'clock, but now I realized like people just look at me and then they look at my nose, they look at everything, and I'm thinking like, what's wrong with these people? You know, they're a bit weird, but in any case, they probably thought, that's what they thought about me. But so, 3 o'clock that afternoon, the one guy, you know, was another accountant, and he said to me, do you know that your face is full of glitter? What did you do last night? I'm thinking like, well, okay, that's why everybody stared at me. But what happened is before I left, I played with my daughter, and she had glitter all over her in her bed and everything. So my whole face, everything was like glitter, you know. So they probably thought like, oh, this guy's got a nightlife. He's doing stuff weird, you know? Like probably... The one actually confessed and thought that I'm a cross-dresser or something like that. I don't know what you call that, but in any case, so don't quote me on that. But so the amazing thing is, was what happened is when I played with my daughter, that glitter rubbed off on me without me even noticing that. Why? Because we became so close and so intimate with each other. And that's exactly what happens when you spend time with God. God rubs off on you. So that everybody that walks looks at you and they think like, what's wrong with you? What's, something is different about you. Something has changed. Something, you're not the same. There's something about you. And this is where sonship comes in, and especially obedience. It says verse 19 of Romans 8, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption of God. It says that the whole of creation, everything, every person in this world and the whole of creation has got one thing that they look at, and that's the children of God. They're waiting for the children of God to rise up. It says there's an eager anticipation. There's a waiting for you and I that once we've been intimate with God, we begin to walk into the world and we show them what God looks like. That's your job description. That's your purpose. It's not to do some miracles. It's to show the world who Jesus is. Your purpose is to become Christ-like. And so that's why the greatest compliment that somebody can ever give you is say, hey, you remind me of a man that once walked here, Jesus, on the face of this earth. That's the greatest compliment that you can ever receive. Not a, oh, you've been preaching very well. Oh, you have been praying and that prayer has changed the world. Oh, no, 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 no. This is so great. You are the best small group leader ever. Oh, I saw that. I saw how you gave that bread to that person on the doorstep. And it was, I don't know where you give bread, but in that case, I said, well, you know what I want to try and say, but the moment was too big for me. But so it's when they say, hey, I want to have what you have. It's called holiness, the beauty. There's something beautiful about it. Sure. Say sure. Say wow. You know? And that's why I love Jesus so much, and that's why we love Jesus so much, is because you just have, when you have these moments with him, you just realize, wow, just one moment in his presence is better than 1,000 outside. Just because not just does he give you love and affirmation and opens up the heavens, the Father that he did, like did it with Jesus, and say, hey, you're my son, you're my daughter, I'm well pleased with you. He doesn't just say all of that stuff, but there's a worth, a self-worth that begins to manifest in our lives because we realize the only thing that gives us value is him. Only thing that gives me worth in this life is knowing God. And you know, and that's why scripture says, hey, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this is not like, ooh, look in the mirror. You unk. You know? It's not self-worship. There's a difference between self-worth and self-worship. No man can ever be worshipped. No thing can ever be worshipped. Only God has been made to worship. We should worship. But you know what? There's something, there's a confidence that comes in you and me as a son and a daughter of God because we know that our worth comes from him. It's called self-worth. Not self-image. You're not supposed to have a self-image. You're not supposed to like, ooh, you know, be the coolest one around. And I know you are cool. That is very cool. But don't try to be cool because you're not supposed to impress other people. There's nothing wrong with having fun, dressing up nicely and all of that stuff. But don't ever find your identity through what you do. It's who you are. It's who you are that changes. And that's why in John 13 it says, that's how the world will know that you are my disciples. If you start to manifest that love towards one another. When you start to love the person next to you. And you begin to treat them as one worthy of the love of God. When you begin to see that Jesus died for him, Jesus died for him, even if they don't know you, and know him, you begin to treat the guy at the petrol station with the love of God, and you place worth on him or her by acknowledging, by loving, by esteeming. Hello. Turn to your neighbor and tell them God loves you. And he's placed worth on your life. Are you all still all right? Okay. We're just busy with the introduction. Lock the doors. Lock the doors. Okay. Cool. The second part. So God gives us a clear instruction. He says, be holy. Be holy. Now, normally when we hear that, we're just like, all you think is about your unholiness. But that's why we ended there with saying God's worth, the blood of Jesus. Listen to what he says about you. Don't listen to what people say or what you say about yourself. There's some of us here that are struggling with unforgiveness. And the greatest one that you must forgive is yourself. You know, that's the toughest thing to forgive is yourself. Especially when you're a child of God. Because you know that you're actually hurting yourself through the stuff that you're doing, but you struggle to let go. Some of us must just stand there and say, hey, Peter forgives Peter now. Peter, you're released from all the nonsense you did because you're a son of God. You know, self-forgiveness because of what Christ has done. And then God begins to talk to us. Once you understand that there's a lifestyle that you need to live, then there's something else that begins to happen. You begin to understand what holiness is. And yet in 1 Peter 2 verse 9 to 10, it talks to us and says, but you, this talking about the children of God, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There are two great attacks that the devil has designed. And the one is to come against the church. To come against this holy nation, this group of people that would gather in the name of God and proclaim his praises. And so what we are doing tonight here in this place is we're not singing a couple of nice songs because it's nice. We are not standing here and coming in here because there's a couple of people that we want to meet and we want to have a nice social afterwards because there's some nice coffee. We're not coming here to listen to a short man that preaches, okay? And he's a nice guy. And he's quite cool as well sometimes. But so, well, that's what my wife says. So why are you laughing like that? I believe her. It's truth. Thanks, George. Thanks for that compliment. I receive it. Amen. Although I said it, but you gave it back to me. Thank you. I receive it. Okay. The rest of you, the Lord bless you too. So, okay. But you need to understand this, that what's happening here tonight is very holy. Not because of the program, because of how God sees this gathering. It's called his bride. It's called his church. And some of you, when you came in, I stood there at the back. You know, we were already in the fourth song. And then you walked, hello, Vumile. You come up here. Hey, how are you? Abby. Hello. Leopold, how are you? I like your top. So, yes, buddy, how are you? Well, some other people are worshiping you, just stopping in your. Oh, that's a nice seat. Hey, buddy, how are you? Da, 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 da. And we're not supposed to be, you know, like now be signal. Just drink sour prune juice before you come to church, okay? But the amazing thing is that some of us haven't prepared 1 minute. To come into the presence of God. And that's why you're so distracted and you can't worship God, because you haven't prepared yourself. We don't realize what happens here tonight. I'm walking on holy ground. The whole week there are lots of people doing lots of stuff here. But tonight we're standing on holy ground and you're sitting on holy ground because we value the presence of God above anything else. So I want to challenge you when you come to church. It's a gathering of the saints. And you know, there are many little groups meeting all over the place and they're offended with meetings like this tonight. But this is God's answer. It's His church. It's the local church. If you don't belong to one, then this is a good church to belong to. I believe that. If you belong to another church, go and serve there 100%. But there are many people that don't understand this gathering anymore. It's not a nice tennis club. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's holy. And when you begin to understand that, you know, just like in Israel in the Jews, they were divided into tribes. And you know, every tribe, it's so amazing. Every tribe had a specific skill. Every tribe had a specific place. Some like the Simeonites were left-hand arrow throwers and they could fight with the left hands. And then there were the Levites that would always minister before God. And it's just so beautiful when you start to begin to realize what scripture is and how God values the church. Go and read Ephesians 1 and 2 and you begin to understand that scripture says, and Jesus is the head of the church and the whole of creation is subject to you and me, the authority that is given. But that means you need to be committed. That means you need to understand the holiness of what happens here and you need to start to plan your weekends to come to church first before you plan the rest of the weekend. Because it's not about the name Shofar. It's not about what happens here. It's about the thing that happens in your heart. Because you begin to say to God, God, I understand what is holy. And then in that church, there's some sacraments that God has given us like baptism. And like communion, that is holy. You must do it and you bring it in reverence because you understand holiness. But we, you know, as a generation, we've lost that. So we just eat the bread, drink the wine. Well, go on here. And then, you know, we think like, oh, yes, this guy's preaching long. It's 7:30 already. Sure. There's some other rugby game on maybe tonight. I don't know. Soccer. Oh, Manchester. Da, da, da. And your head is all over the place. But God wants to deliver us from this because it's called idolatry. And I'm saying it very straight because God loves you and I love you. I really love you, but that's why I'm talking the truth. Stop messing with God. He's so full of love, but don't tamper with the things that are holy. Don't mess with the things that are holy. So you get in South Africa, there are so many people that are offended with the church. They're sitting outside, they're reading their Bible every day, but there's a bitterness in their spirit and God will not use them. Because the institution of the church is holy. Everybody tries to redefine it, but you know what? God, let God be true and every man a liar. The second thing that is very holy is called marriage. Everybody tries to redefine, even in our nation, what is marriage. But scripture is very clear. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. One of the purposes of marriage is holiness, is to work holiness. Everybody and the world is trying to redefine what marriage is. Marriage is holy matrimony between a husband and a wife. And what happens through that intimacy that represents Christ and the church is you birth godly offspring, that you train up in the way that God wants. So that you can let the blessing of God run into the next generations. I don't care what the world says, what the media says, everything else. But you know, when we stick to the things in the way God says it, it is holy. It is holy. And you know, all of us come from a place where maybe you've been hurt. Maybe your whole idea of marriage, your whole idea of sex is like wrong and it's been defiled because through pornography or through what has happened in your life, maybe you have like 3 parents and 6 this and you know. But it does not change anything about who God says He is and what He has instituted. And that's why you're sitting here tonight, so that you can receive the blessing from what is godly. It's called covenant relationships. We don't walk out of covenant relationships. We don't decide it's more convenient tomorrow to divorce. You know, there are big churches and movements all across the world that must suddenly, what they're beginning to do, they're redefining what marriage is. God says, don't tamper with things that are holy. Every time when that started to happen, societies would fall apart. It's the beginning of great destruction on that society. Because only God defines marriage, because He's instituted marriage. And what happens, there's no barrenness, there's reproduction. But you know, even many churches today, because they don't understand that holiness, they cannot reproduce. There's no new salvations. Or what happens, there is new salvations, but there are abortions along the road all the time because nobody takes care of those new salvations. Because God has called us to a life of discipleship. I don't leave my kids. And that's why I want to challenge you. There's a summer camp coming up. Be there. Be a facilitator. Equip yourself. Invite your friends and your brothers and your sisters. Why? Because we need to raise up a new generation. There's a first year's camp out here, and you can stand, oh yeah, I've got a wonderful time. This is a social life. Or you can weep between the porch and the altar and say, God, I realize that there's a group of young guys coming into this course next year. And if I don't stand in the gap for them, they're going to become drunkards. They're going to become unholy. They're going to sleep around. They're going to lose their virginity. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. But God, I'm interceding for them. I'm standing in the gap because I realize, God, You want to protect them. They're called first years. So that's why you got come on the first years camp and you begin to say, and this is not a promotion. This is just saying very simply, that's what we do as Christians. We take care of our babies. We're not here for ourselves. Because that's what lust do. Lust is just self-worship. Whether it's masturbating or pornating or whatever you want to call it, it's self-worship. And if you're not supposed to prepare to do it on the stage so that everybody can see, then it's not holy. I don't care what people say. It's not holy. Because God defines holiness. Isn't that beautiful? See, there's beauty. There's the beauty of marriage covenant. And sex is beautiful. God has made it for a man and a wife to enjoy, to procreate. It is amazing. God has made you as a sexual being. And there's some of you that God is going to deliver tonight. He's going to set you free from wrong ways of thinking. Because you've been thinking of other people as objects. Guys have been made to think of women as objects. But do you know what? That woman, if she's sitting in years, hopefully your wife, she is going to carry. She's a carrier of the Holy Spirit. And you can present her to God one day. Say, God, without blemish, she's holy. We walk this road of holiness. And that's what we do every Sunday here when we sit together, is we presenting the church to God and say, God, make us holy. We're preparing ourselves for You. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. There's some of you, as we're talking about marriage, all you're thinking is about the negative stuff, the stuff that, and God wants to set you free. He wants to make your conscience alive so that when you think about marriage, you say, wow, God, I want to get married. Wow, God, this is an opportunity because You have made marriage, and therefore I will stand for what is true and You will make it happen. And then you prepare yourself not for perfection, but for wholeness. That's why you're here. That's why we do these encounters and all this stuff. Is why it's just to make you whole so that you can present yourself to God and that you can present yourself to one other person and say, hey, here's somebody that I'm going to connect my soul with. Because your soul becomes one. You connect one flesh. But see, there are many of you running around because of stuff. And all you need to do is just say, God, restore me. If you're one of those people that have been fornicating and sleeping around and all of that stuff, because you still have a soul tie with that person. You don't understand that you don't have sex with your body, you have sex with your soul. And you're lending yourself out to somebody else. But that's why the Holy Spirit is here to cleanse us. Amen? It's getting very quiet in this place. It says not having spot or wrinkle. And that's why God invites you. And I am so excited about marriage with all the flaws and all this stuff and all the mistakes. You know, I think so, like sometimes, oh God, I have an amazing wife. Her name is Louise, and you won't see her here on stage, but you know what? She is the best gift God has ever given me. I don't want any other, you know, there's no other person I long to be with or any stuff, because I realize she's a gift God has given her. And we're walking this road. We're almost 20 years married. And I realized that this woman that I married, you know, when we stood there a couple of years ago, just a few years ago, it was like, oh, you know, when she walked down the aisle, I'll never forget that. I was thinking like, Lord, let the rapture happen now. We'll go up like Elijah, the two of us, but let her just get here. Just let her get here that we can go together. I remember I didn't hear a word the pastor said on the service. I was just standing there. Cloud 14. There's a time when you must say yes. And I said yes. 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 That's all I said. Yes. I want her. And you know, the amazing thing is we didn't kiss each other before marriage. The first time we kissed each other, and we kissed each other, was that time. It was the best kiss ever, I tell you. But you know, because she's a gift. And that's how Jesus sees you. When you're sitting here, you're not just a shameful person, full of nonsense and all of that stuff. When you sit here and you know, I come and worship Him tonight, He says, she's my bride. She's my bride. I long for her. I'm jealous over her. You know, God is jealous. Jesus is so jealous over you, of what you do and what you spend your time with and where you go. And He's so longing for some of us just to speak again to Him. He's so longing for you just to cross that line and come into His throne room. Because He's not full of judgment. He's not going to say, oh, you're so bad. Oh, sort yourself out. He just says, come, come. But come out of the world. Come to a place of intimacy. Come to a place of holiness. You see, because then it's so easy to become obedient. Then it's so easy to begin to walk out. And the last thing, 3 minutes. Before another 5 minutes. It's the most valuable thing in your life. You know, if marriage breaks down, if the church breaks down, you know what is the result of that? It's because the prophetic voice of God is lost. God, the prophetic people begin to be silent. And so that's why you can measure any revival in the past in the church is always directly related to intercession. If there are a group of people crying out before God, because the engine room of the church is healthy. You don't need to have an event to pray. You can be like Mariette that just prays all the time. Yeah? And it's amazing. Just, ladies, stick around and look at Mariette, because she doesn't need an event to pray. Just like sharing a testimony. What? But you know what? Because there's something in your spirit that cries out to God. It's a something that you stand in the gap, something that you begin to say, yeah, I want to birth God's purposes. And so revival is directly connected to the intercession and people hearing the voice of God. But you know what? In Amos it says, and there was a famine for the word of God. There was destruction and barrenness. Why? Because people didn't heed the voice of God anymore. People just like so many other voices. And so, probably the biggest question that young people ask today is, how do I hear the voice of God? You know, God speaks, and I'll just flash that up there. I wanted to spend 20 minutes on this, but 30 minutes on this, but let's just do it quickly. It's God's still small voice. Be silent, be holy, be separate. That's what holiness means, be separate, so that you can hear the still small voice inside. God speaks to you. And then when you need to make decisions, you begin to say, how in my decision making, where will God's kingdom come the most first? Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all things be added. Don't talk about all the other stuff with God. Say, God, I want to see your kingdom come. I've got an urgency, a desire to see your kingdom come. Then you begin to learn how to pray and consecrate yourself to God. You set yourself apart every day. That's why we talk about quiet time and we talk about this place of intimacy. Why? Because you step out to a place where you say, okay, God, I'm consecrating myself. And if you start with 10 minutes, start with 20 minutes in the morning. Don't try to start with 3 hours. Then you know, and especially don't be sleep in your bed and try to read your Bible when you're lying in bed, you know, just like, he will make an utter end of its place. And darkness will pursue his enemies. What do you conspire against the Lord? No, that's not a good question. God is jealous. Oh no, I don't like that one. Oh. No. Give me another one. And I feel good. Oh, woman, dear woman of destiny. No, that's not me. Oh, no, there's too many things that offend me in this Bible. Then the spirit of divine comes over you. Yeah, and then 2 hours later, you feel condemned. But if you're hungry, you say, okay, Peter, wake me up tomorrow morning. And I'm going to go to bed at 11. Not at 3 o'clock and then try to wake up at 6. It's not going to work. But see, when you consecrate yourself to God, pray in consecration, and then you begin to say, God, give me your word. Give me your logos, which is the written word. Rhema is the revelation word. You're hungry for the revelation word of God. You begin to say, yes, God. Then you learn to listen to your spirit, the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Philippians chapter 2 talks about it, and these just are some principles, is that you begin to learn what is God already placed in your heart. What's the desires of your heart? He says God will give you the ability, the will, and the pleasure to do according to his ability. So you begin to just stop and you say, okay, God, what's these desires inside of me, godly desires that you've placed inside of me that I can start to pursue? And when you start out as a Christian, do you know God will many times speak to you in this format? No! Because that's what you do with your children when they're small. They want to run into the street. You say, no! They want to jump off, you know, something. And then, you know, I remember my second child, Naomi, she was on the double bed and she just watched Buzz Lightyear. And she said, to infinity and beyond. There was no beyond. There was just beneath and one tooth gone. But then he says, no, don't do that. No, don't do that, you know. So sometimes God would speak to us, especially if you are a bit immature, then he'll speak to you a lot about, hey, these are the boundaries. Just stick into the boundaries. And that's why we need the family of God to help us through that. But it's always by invitation. And as you grow up, you begin to take responsibility because now you begin to know what God's heart is. And so now God doesn't need to speak to you in terms of what is right and wrong all the time. Why? Because you know his heart, it just becomes your default. You do God's will. You have two choices, and I'm not talking about sin here and immorality. I'm just saying you've got two choices. What should I go and study now? Should I study this or should I study this? But see, suddenly you begin to realize, wow, God's kingdom is going to come. He's placed certain desires in my heart. So now I begin to make choices around him and not choices around me. What's going to be my security? But now I begin to work in the witness of God and the desires of my heart, and I begin to walk with him. And then what you do is, once you've gone through some of the stuff, then you find the counsel of other people. The counsel of the word, Psalm 1 says, it blesses the tree who's planted by living waters. And it talks about the counsel, the fact that you need friends in a small group that you can be accountable to. Because they are sometimes going to hear God's voice for you, especially if you're a bit confused and you're double-minded, you don't know where to go. But don't go to them first. Go to God first. Okay? They're not your fortune teller. They can just confirm many times what God has already said over your life. That's the counsel of God, where he begins to raise you up. Then you need to understand the seasons of your life. Stop reading books that other people tell you, or running to this conference and that thing all over. You need to find out what is the season of your life. Do you know all of your seasons, if you're a student here, is to equip yourself. Equip yourself for the workplace. Equip yourself for the kingdom of God. So you need to grab hold of every opportunity that you get to learn. Because you have the most time available now in your life and not responsibility for families or children and all of that stuff. So are you going to veg for 6 weeks over December? Or 8 weeks or 10 weeks and come back and say, oh, that TV series, I actually watched it 3 times. And it didn't change from the first time I watched it, but it was just so good because I didn't really have anything to do. Slothfulness and laziness is one of the sins, and cowardice is one of the sins that the Bible mentions a lot of times. So what are you doing to prepare yourself? So you must get a December workout plan. Now some people say, no, you know, I'm not good at that. But you're good at waking up to get to your class at 8 o'clock. And you're good at going to the gym 10 times a week, 5 times a week, or 3 times a week. Okay? You are good. You know, if you believe that lie, no, I'm not disciplined. No, I can't do admin. It's a lie because you can do it with other stuff. You can do it to get to that social or to get to that coffee date with that girlfriend. So don't believe a lie. Equip yourself. Can somebody say amen? Thank you for your spontaneity. Okay? So learn what the season of your life is and then obviously connect to a spiritual family. If you don't belong to a small group, I want to challenge you. You need to work out in relationship with other people that are different than you. And they're going to challenge you, and sometimes you're going to love them, and sometimes you're going to hate them, and sometimes they're going to frustrate you. But you need people in your life that are different than you, that have different giftings than you. Because they will perfect holiness in your life. They will help you to become a holy person. Because all of us, you know, there's going to be times when you're down. I have a friend in America. It's amazing. Rainier, we got saved at school together in 1989. He's one of my best friends. And he's been in America for 12 years. Working for Microsoft. He's just moved with Jesus Culture to go and help plant a church and all that stuff. But you know what? Many times, Rainier will phone me in the middle of the night and he says, Sias, what's happening? The Lord is speaking to me about you. Are you depressed? And then I say, do you know what? I don't feel so lucky. I feel a bit discouraged. But pray for me. And then we'll somehow pray right there on the phone. Because we've been walking a road together of true covenant relationship. Because why our relationship is different than the world. And that's why, you know, two of the major ways how students backslide is just simply because wrong guy-girl relationships, unequally yoked, and secondly, wrong friendship relationships. Because still a lot of relationships in the world, and they drag you down. They drag you down. They don't help you to become holy. And I'm not saying reject them, love them, but draw them to holiness. Draw them to God. Let your lifestyle make them jealous so that they say, I want to have what you have. You see, God is raising up a generation of worshipers, but they understand that we don't mess with the things that God calls holy. So you don't mess with your body, you don't mess with the church, you don't mess with marriage. You prepare yourself. So I want us to stand tonight as we're going to pray. And we're going to take some time. You see, the reason why Jesus came to the cross, why he lived here on earth, is to show us that it's possible. Jesus didn't sin once. And he wasn't like a religious freak giving people a set of rules. But the most amazing thing is that whether it was the greatest sinner around, they were so attracted to him. Because do you know what sinners in the world, people that are really out there messing up their lives, They know what is beautiful. They know things. They recognize the holiness when they see it. And there's a generation that is beginning to say yes to God, and a generation that's beginning to just bring themselves to God because He's holy. Not because we are so holy, because we are so great, because we are so perfect. I make so many mistakes. I pray so many times and say, God, why would you choose somebody like me that stuttered, that couldn't speak, that felt utterly rejected, fell into depression, tried to commit suicide twice. But I loved my life too much, so it didn't work. Why would you choose somebody like me to have this greatest privilege to represent you in the earth? And why would you make yourself vulnerable by choosing to use humans to show other humans what you look like? That's why He calls us out. He calls us out and then He sends us in again. He calls us up onto the mountain where we see Him. And there's some of us here tonight, we've lost our wow moments when we come to God. We've lost our wow moments when it comes to the relationships around us. We've lost that. That's why we're here tonight, is so that we can say, God, restore me, restore the years that the locusts have eaten. There's some of us here tonight that when you think of marriage, when you think about the church, maybe you've been greatly disappointed. And I say, I'm sorry, on behalf of leadership, sorry that the church is not perfect. Sorry if you've been hurt in churches, even like ours. I've been hurt many times. When I grew up, you know, people wanted to push me over and people wanted to tell me all the rules and the regulations, but there was no love. But it still doesn't change anything about the Church of Jesus Christ. And I had to deal with those offenses. I had to deal with the hurt and the pain, because it was so easy for me just to keep everybody at a distance. But in the same way, I just kept God at a distance because I didn't want to commit myself to holiness. And sometimes God takes that pain in your heart, sir, and He says, I want to use you because now you can identify with other people. You can minister to them the love of Christ without judgment. You see, only God can judge, church. We can't judge. But Stevens told me a story the other day. Maybe some of you have heard it. But he told me the story of a son, a boy, two brothers. And the one brother was a gangster. Ran around on the streets. And one night he stabbed the guy and he killed the guy. And there was blood all over him. So the police came, and then he realized, but he's going to be in big trouble. So he ran home. Came into the front door and the police recognized or saw some part of him and realized what direction. Don't know all the details, but he ran into the home, closed the door. And as he came into the front area of the house, his older brother came walking up to him and said to him, give me your shirt. Give me your shirt. So he took off his shirt. And the older brother gave him another shirt. Police knocked on the door. Banged on the door. And the younger brother opened the door with a clean shirt, washed himself, all of that stuff. And they said, the guy who killed somebody who came into this house. And then the older brother came down the stairways with a shirt on full of blood. And the police arrested him. Took him to prison, took him to the courts, and they sentenced him to death. And as they sentenced him to death, a week before he was going to die, he wrote his younger brother a letter, and he said, younger brother, I'm dying in your place, but I've got one request of you. One. Will you live my life on earth that I gave up for you? That is what Jesus is asking you. Because He died for you. He took that shirt where you and I were supposed to get a death sentence. That's what Jesus came to do. Not to have a little transaction. But He died in your place, sir. Lady, He came to die. You were supposed to die. And Jesus said, take off the shirt. I'm going to give you another one. And I'm going to die. I'm going to give up my life so that you can live. But I've got one thing. Would you deny yourself? Take up your cross. Follow me. Live my life. Will you become Christ to the world? But you can only become Christ to the world if you live who He is, what He said, and you know Him. So tonight, if you're here tonight and you've been playing games with God, you've been thinking, oh, you know, this church thing, oh, no, 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 all that stuff. But you're not serious with Jesus. He wants to use you to worship Him, to love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and then to love your neighbor. Love the guy out there that will probably never pick up a Bible, but you in his face all the time. Show him Jesus, lady. Show her Jesus. So if you're here tonight and you want to say, God, I want to make a recommitment, because I understand, I don't understand holiness. I don't understand what you call holy. And you want to recommit your life to God, or you want to do it the first time, or you need to repent of your sins and repent of your nature. Not just try to have a little makeover or self-image help. It's a radical repentance, metanoia, 180 degrees back to the cross, back to the call of Christ in your life. If that's you, and you're in between, one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, I want you to step out from where you are, and I want you to come and join me in front here on the left-hand side. Some of you must just make a radical statement tonight and say, Lord, this is a practical step to say, I'm separating myself. I'm coming out to where you are. I want to be holy. I want to be different. But you've never seen it like God is actually jealous over you, and he's not going to just give you a lucky packet. He gave you his son. And if he's been speaking to you tonight, I want you to come right to the front. I want you to come and stand. There's a little red line here. Because we're going to pray a simple prayer, a prayer of surrender. The second group of people is very simply, when it comes to intimacy, when I talk about that stuff, there's just no way that you can relate. When I talk about self-worth, when I talk about the power of marriage, the power of the institution, you've become a master to run away. And you have all the excuses when it comes to the things holy, when it comes to that, because of hurt, because of pain, because of anger. And what, you know what? Jesus wants to heal you tonight. He wants to heal you over that dagger of divorce that's hanging over you, that you think, well, my parents divorced 3 times. So do you know what? There's no hope for me. There is hope, because Jesus instituted marriage. He wants to make you a father. He wants to make you a mother. And He's going to call you that. So if you've been suffering with these things, or there's offense in your heart, there's hurt and pain and anger, I want you to come out. I want you to come and stand on this side. Because we're going to pray that God will heal you. Especially people that come out of divorced homes, come out of hurt. There's so much fear in your life when it comes to relationship and covenant. Jesus is the healer tonight. He's going to set you free. And this is not to have a nice group of people in front. This is about that thing in your heart that sort of every time kicks in, every time when you want to worship, it just seems like, goof, there's a brick wall that you hit yourself against. I want you guys, if just move a little bit to the front so that there's some more people coming. Just make some space so that people can pray here, just like this. If you're standing in front and you want to pray, I want you just to stand like this. You know, God is in the restoration business. God doesn't just make whole, he restores so that you're better off. That everything that the devil accuses you of, you have freedom. We're going to start to pray for people, but I want all of us now, the rest of us, turned in groups of 3, guys with guys and ladies with ladies. And we're going to minister to each other, because that's what church is about. We can't just walk out here and not have, say, okay, God, what did you convict us of? What are the stuff that I need to be accountable of? Maybe you're here tonight, you don't belong to a small group, or you're just floating through. Then I want to plead with you, please don't mess with things that are holy, because it's for your advantage. It's a place where you need to grow, where God wants to bless you. and you slot into a life-giving church or in a small group. If you don't belong in a small group and you want to be part, then give your names up there in the foyer. And this weekend we have like a men's and a women's morning on Saturday. And we're going to teach you, and some of the older guys and ladies are going to come to teach you, what does it mean to be a biblical man? What does it mean to a biblical woman? Because there's so much that God wants to restore. But you know, sometimes this pain comes up, this stuff. And if you have pain tonight, maybe you didn't come to the front. And it's not about coming to the front. It's about that heart. It's about holiness. So we're going to just take some time, just 3 minutes or 4 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, how long it is. I don't want anybody to talk in this place. I want you to pray with some other people where you're going to bring your heart to Him and you're going to consecrate yourself to God. We're going to consecrate each other. We're going to say, God, because I've been repenting the past couple of weeks, and say, God, sorry that I don't see your church as holy. I don't see always marriage as holy, Lord. But you know what? I fall short of your glory. Show me your glory. Bring back your glory into the covenant things that you have called. Even when the whole world is saying something else, you're raising up the standard. You're raising up the standard. And then I want guys to pray for other guys, and you say, you speak into their spirits. You say, you shall be a good father. You shall be a good husband. And ladies, you shall be a mother. I call you mother by faith. That's where we speak the word of God over each other. Amen? That's where we release the word of God to break down the lies. It's like a fist that breaks it down. So if you're standing yet in front, I'm going to just pray a simple prayer with you tonight of just commitment to Jesus. Will you do that? Just close your eyes and stretch out your arms and hold your arms and say, Lord Jesus, tonight I'm turning away from the things that says I'm unholy. And I come to you because you are holy. I repent because I'm a sinner. And I cannot change myself. But tonight I thank you that you sent your Son to die on a cross for me. And I turn back to you. Lord, wash me clean by your blood. Wash me clean by your word. Tonight I surrender everything, Jesus. I want to look you in the eyes. Thank you that you will never look away. You will never reject me. Lord, I bring my pain to you. I bring the anger, my past to you. And I thank you that you restore me. That you restore the years that have been stolen. I thank you for my birthright, a spiritual, an emotional, and a natural birthright. I thank you, Lord, for complete restoration. I will not believe the lies of the enemy, the shame and the guilt and the condemnation anymore. Thank you for your word. Wash me with your word. And Lord, I bring my barrenness to you. My spiritual barrenness. I want to produce spiritual children and take care of spiritual children to be part of a holy family, a holy nation, a holy priesthood. Lord, take my spiritual womb and impregnate me with your incorruptible seed, with your incorruptible seed, so that I can carry the fullness of your glory. Lord, as a church, we repent that we are so many times barren and there's no reproduction, but we ask that you have mercy on us, that we will make disciples of the nations, of the races we live in, of the schools we are at. Grant us, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you'll ignite us with fire in Jesus' name. We're going to just pray for each other. If you're a small group leader, why don't you just come to the front as we're going to anoint people. We're going to stay right here and just sing a worship song to God. The rest of us, I want us just to quickly, 2x2, 3x3, just sit down and we're going to just pray for each other. We need a lot of facilitators here in front, so if you can come and help us. Hallelujah. And if you're living a life of compromise, we want to pray with you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.